Chapter 16. I didn't have to wait long, just until the next practice. We had finally managed to get the girls thinking about offsides instead of just shooting and passing. "Good job, people," Carol said. "There's only a week and a half to go, so we're going to be splitting the practice sections. Half hockey, half synchronized skating. And remember, don't breathe a word of this outside these walls. It's a surprise." She paused. "Now, I think we're due to retire to dressing room number 3 for a little demo on how to put on hockey equipment." We filed through the corridor to our dressing room. Lise was already there, trying to make room for everyone. Valerie and Taryn squeezed in next to Ryan and me. It was a tight fit, but for once I didn't mind, and I don't think Ryan did either. He put an arm around the back of Taryn's shoulder and leaned against the wall. I followed suit, and to my surprise, Valerie leaned against my shoulder. Neil and Scott were already in the center of the room, laying out equipment. "Okay, first we'll do a little demo, and then you can try." Scott reached into his bag. "This first piece of equipment," he said, wrenching something from the top of his bag, "is called a..." He stood stock still, holding his jockstrap as the color flooded his face. The girls burst into laughter, and Neil doubled over, holding his stomach. Scott stuffed the jockstrap back into his bag and pulled out his garter belt. "The first piece of equipment you'll need," he began again, "is the garter belt that comes with these little clips that hold up your socks." He stepped into his belt and gave Neil a swift kick in the shin. "Right," said Neil, clutching his shin. "Belts first, right after your jockstraps." Laughter absorbed his voice. Scott gave him a quick hip check and sent him flying into Simone's lap. She pulled him down in front of her. "Okay," said Scott. "Next you slip your shin pads on and then pull your socks over those." In moments, he was wearing both. "Then you attach your clips to your socks like this and put on your hockey pads." He clipped on his socks, stepped into his pants, and pulled the suspenders over his shoulders. "Those are followed by shoulder pads and elbow pads," he said, deftly putting them on. "Then this neck guard goes around your neck and attaches at the back. Your jersey goes on over the top." He pulled on his blue falcon sweater. "After that, you put on your skates," he said, pointing at his feet, "and your helmet and gloves." Within seconds, he was fully dressed. The girls clapped and Scott bowed all around. "Your turn," he said, sweeping the room with his hands. Valerie struggled to her feet and unzipped my bag. Thankfully, Lise had washed my equipment. She rummaged around for my belt and put it on, pulling it tighter to make it smaller. It took her 2 tries to get my shin pads on right side up, but clipping on the socks was no problem. Hockey pads were straightforward, although 2 of us could have fit in them. But shoulder pads were another story. After 3 attempts, she managed to untangle her hair and get them on the right way around. "You might want to put your hair up," I told her. She had no trouble with the elbow pads. I did up the neck card while she held her hair out of the way. A few minutes later, she was wearing my hockey sweater, helmet, and gloves and looking perfectly beautiful. "How do you skate in this stuff?" Valerie wanted to know. The girls looked around and giggled at each other, but Lee seemed happy enough. "Naturally, you'll be in your own skates, and we've arranged for some equipment rentals for that day." She paused and looked around at the girls' baffled expressions. "Trust me," she said, smiling. "You don't want to wear the boys' equipment after they've played for 2 periods. The jersey will be bad enough." The girls grimaced. "Do me a favor and don't sweat," Taryn told Ryan. "On the day of the skating showcase," Lise continued, "we're going to arrange to interrupt the game with about 5 minutes left. We haven't sorted out all the details, but the guys will have to leave the ice when they do. You girls will have to be dressed and ready to go, minus their sweaters. You should have enough time to switch over. Guys, you're going to have to stay out of sight, at least for the first few minutes, until the old-timers realize the girls are out there. It shouldn't take long, but don't follow the girls out." "How are you going to get us off the ice without Knowles knowing about all this?" asked Pete. "We're still working on that one, but we'll find a way." She glanced around at all of us. "Okay, girls, you can take off the equipment. That's it for today. Remember, Monday next week is a double practice followed by a makeup session. We're getting down to the crunch." "Don't worry, you'll think of something," I told Lise on the way home as she tugged on her curls. They were chocolate brown today and suited her. "Hey, I like your hair that color," I said. Lee's mind was elsewhere. "I hope we come up with something soon. The tricky part is getting Knowles to go one way while you guys go the other." "What about a blackout?" I suggested. "Can't. It's against safety regulations. Something to do with the Fire and Safety Act." Lise tilted her head to one side. "Wait a minute," she began slowly. "That might just work." "What, the blackout?" "No, the fire thing. What if the fire alarm went off?" "Isn't that against the Fire and Safety Act, too?" I asked. "Sure, sure. But what if they were in on it? The fire department, I mean." "It had potential." "I guess so, but how are you going to separate Knowles from the team?" Lee sighed again. "I don't know, Joel. Has he ever had to leave the bench during a game?" I thought hard. Just once, when he had a bad case of diarrhea. Please frowned. Not exactly an easy solution. Oh, yeah. And once when some guy was trying to have his car towed.
His car towed?
Yeah, I guess he parked in some emergency vehicle place or something, and they were going to tow his car. Lise grinned at me. Joel, you're a genius. I wasn't feeling much like a genius when I tried my homework that night. It wasn't that it was a difficult assignment. I just couldn't concentrate. I kept feeling Valerie lean back against me and seeing her in all my equipment. I finally took a break and phoned Ryan. The line was busy. I thought about phoning Valerie, but what was I going to say? I finally got through to Ryan, who was floating. Hey, Switzen, I was just going to call you. You're never going to believe this. I opened my mouth to say something, but Ryan just kept on. I went to see Mom today after supper, and she called me by name. She knew Dad, too.
Cool.
And then when I got home, Taryn called.
She called you?
Yep, just called to chat, I guess. She's something else.
What did you two talk about?
Things, like the costumes and equipment and a little about her school and family.
All that tonight?
Yeah, it just kind of happened. I could hear Ryan's dad's voice in the background. Anyway, I better go. I've been on the phone since we got home. I set the receiver down and looked at the clock. It was early enough to call Valerie, and I'd already memorized her number. Maybe I didn't have anything to say. Maybe it would just happen. I picked up the phone, but Lisa's voice crackled in my ear. She burst through my door minutes later. I'm done, if you want to make a call, she said. And it's all arranged. The towing company is going to erect a handicapped parking sign in front of Coach Noel's car after he's gone, and then they're going to arrange to come and tow it. When he gets word of that, he'll have to go sort it out. That's when we'll sound the fire alarm. The fire department's been great. They're going to arrive with their sirens on and do the whole routine, except that the girls and the Falcons will be allowed to remain in the building. By the time Knowles finishes with the towing company, the game will have started again and the girls will be on the ice. She stopped, out of breath. Wow, I said, you arranged all that? Everyone's keen to help out a good cause. She looked hard at me. Speaking of which, Joel, what's happening? I shifted uneasily. It's only 4 days until Valentine's Day, she reminded me. I know, we're supposed to have a meeting tomorrow night and I'm not going to take the stuff. There, I'd said it. What are you going to tell the dice? Guys, maybe that my supplies dried up. And they're going to be okay with that?
They'll have to be, I guess.
It's the right thing to do, Joel. We stood in silence. Who do you play next?
The Blades.
We should be able to take them, although that's what I said last time. Still, it's got to be done. I flopped down on my bed. I know. Lise pointed to the phone. It's free now, if you want to make a call. She glanced at the clock. She'll still be up. I blushed as the phone rang. Hello, I said, glad of the interruption. It was Justin with the news that Knowles' father had just passed away and he was going to have to go back to St. John's. I motioned for Lise to stick around. Now what am I going to do? I asked her after I'd given her the details. She drew her fingers across her chin. I'm going to have to wait until he's back, Lise. The guys will be crazy if this happens now.
Okay, she said finally, but as soon as he's back, regardless of who you're playing.
I swallowed hard. But what if it's a top-place team?
Regardless of who you're playing, Lise repeated sternly.
I gave in.
Okay, regardless of who we're playing.
I didn't phone Valerie in the end. I was too busy trying to figure out who we'd have to face the day of the stuff. It was likely to be the Chiefs, and they were never easy. And that would be just days before the old-timers game, too. This whole thing was a never-ending nightmare. In fact, it was such a nightmare that I found myself hoping we'd lose our next game against the Blades just so we would lose to an easy team on the stuff. But one of their forwards was out with an injury, and Ryan was making moves we'd never seen before.
Must be the synchronized skating, whispered Pete as we skated off with a 4-0 win.
Must be, I agreed, but I'd seen those moves before, at an early morning skate with Phil Kiefler. You made some great dekes out there tonight, I told Ryan as we headed out the arena doors.
Thanks.
I could feel Ryan's eyes on me.
What?
I asked. Well, I was just thinking about something Phil told me the other day.
About decking guys?
No, about deceiving guys. I stopped in my tracks and stared at Ryan's back.
What are you talking about?
We stepped out into the darkness as Dad drove into the parking lot. I didn't have a chance to say any more in the car, but I had this gnawing feeling in my stomach that wouldn't go away all through my shower. I called Ryan as soon as I got out.
Ryan, it's Joel.
I could hear the TV in the background. I was thinking about what you said, and I just want you to know that I've got it all under control. As soon as Knowles gets back, it's done. The stuff, I mean. I stopped to catch my breath.
I'm glad, Joel, said Ryan from the other end.
I deliberated about telling him it was sinus minus, but that seemed to be
making a farce of the whole issue. "I'm sorry, Ryan. I was going to do it earlier, but with you being hurt and Noel's father and all, it didn't seem like the right time." Ryan said nothing. "Anyway, as soon as Knowles is back, that's it." I paused. "I just hope the guys don't flip out." "We'll just have to show them we don't need it," said Ryan. I felt relief overcome me. Ryan was on my side. "Right," I said. "That first game of off the stuff, we'll have to have the game of our lives." "Why not? It'll be a good warm-up for the old-timers game. I think that's going to be a challenge." "Me too." "One thing, though," pondered Ryan aloud. "What happens if the girls lose it for us in the last 5 minutes?" I'd thought of that. "They won't count that, will they?" "Don't know. We'll just have to make sure we're way out in front by then." I felt better by the time I'd hung up, and so did Lise when I told her about my conversation with Ryan. "That's the best news I've heard for a while," she said. "I'm glad you've made up your mind." I was glad, too. It wasn't going to be easy, but together Ryan and I could be tough to beat. We certainly didn't look tough when the girls had finished with us at the end of the next practice. "Ouch," exclaimed Red. "This stuff stings." Fiona grabbed the mascara from him. "You're not supposed to stick it in your eye, just do your eyelashes, like I showed you." I stared at my reflection in the mirror. "Try putting the eyeshadow on the other eyelid," instructed Valerie. "Remember, they're supposed to match." I rubbed the brush in the eyeshadow and tried to keep one eye shut and look at the other one. "This is impossible," moaned Ryan beside me. "How do you trace the bottom of your eyelid without making the line all bumpy?" "Now remember," said Lise, "you guys are going to have to do this after you get dressed." "What about Coach Knowles?" asked Theo. "We've already arranged to have him called out of the dressing room to do a newspaper interview during the figure skating performance. Play around with your equipment if you have to, but don't change into your hockey uniforms. Once he's left, switch dressing rooms. You'll have time to dress while the girls skate. You'll also have to do makeup, so you might want to practice a little bit at home." "That'd go over well with my dad," Pete joked. "And my mom," added Scott. "I'd have to use her makeup." "Never mind, then. Just be quick about it," we moaned in unison. "All the costumes will be in the dressing room number 4. As soon as Knowles leaves, you've got to switch rooms and get dressed and get your makeup on. Then, you've got to get out behind the black curtain that will be hanging at the south end of the rink just as the girl's second number ends." Lisa's eyes swept the room. "You guys got that?" We nodded. "Just don't be upset if my lipstick's crooked," called Theo in a high-pitched voice. "I hate to be rushed like that." Knowles hurried back from the funeral for the big game against the Cadillacs. Luckily, the guys already had their stuff for the game. We hadn't played the Cadillacs for quite a while, but we were ready, or so we thought. "Why are they so good?" asked Simone over lunch. "Lots of reasons," said Adrian. "They can shoot, pass, skate, and check." "Sounds like us," said Jolene. "Not quite," drooled Red. "But at least Knowles is here." He grinned at the girls. "You coming to cheer us on tonight?" Valerie shrugged. "Maybe. Where do you play?" "Southland Arena at 7:45. "We could go," suggested Valerie. "Sure, why not?" said Jolene. "It would probably be good to us to see how hockey's supposed to look." Just then, Pete joined us. He was covered in snow. "You should see it out there," he said, blowing into his hands. "It's snowing like crazy. There must be 20 centimeters already, and I heard it's supposed to snow all day." By dismissal time, 35 centimeters of snow had fallen, and the bus ride home took an extra hour and a half. By 6 o'clock, they had closed half the roads and all the public arenas and pools. "Looks like you've got the night off," said Lise after listening to the news. "I hope Steve makes it home." "Dad made it home, but not until after 9 p.m. I hadn't seen snow like this ever before. By 10 o'clock, all the schools had been shut down and 50 centimeters of the white, fluffy stuff covered the driveway. And it wasn't supposed to stop until sometime during the night. We had to dig Jasper out of his doghouse and bring him in before we went to bed, and those white flakes just kept on coming. That meant that our game against the Cadillacs would be rescheduled, and according to Knowles, who called to let us know, it wouldn't be until just after the skating showcase next weekend. I frowned when Lise gave us the news. I'd promised Ryan and Lise I'd wean the guys off the stuff, but that would mean their first game without the stuff would be against the Cadillacs. I couldn't do that, could I? You certainly can, said Lise when I told her my predicament, and you will. But Lise, it's the Cadillacs. So what? They're just another hockey team. Yeah, right, I protested. Another great hockey team. The key word is another, the Falcons being the other, Lise insisted. Just one more game? No! There was finality that I never heard before in Lise's voice. No, Joel. It has to stop. First it was Christmas, then Valentine's, now this is it. No more. I stared at her. How would she know if I gave out one more batch of the stuff? Besides, you promised Ryan. That was a real clincher. Lise might not know, but Ryan would. I'd given Ryan my word, and not keeping it might mean losing my best friend.